Blog Talk Radio. billahi min shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladzina an'amta 'alayhim ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin. Amen. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds. Most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment, thee do we worship and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath, and who go not astray. Amen. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show of the Message of Concern. Today is Tuesday, and it's March 22nd, 2022, and the time is 7:15. And this Blog Talk Radio Show starts originally from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. This is the day on Tuesdays and Sundays that this Blog Talk Radio Show covers, mainly try to keep up with that program that we first started, but it focuses on the psychological effect of that image on the minds of the world's children. But mind you, we are all in this together with a message of concern. All of it is a message of concern. The message of concern is to remove all images from worship that portray divine. That could be statues of different colors. That could be crosses. That could be symbols. If any of them portray divine and are used in worship, our plan, inshallah, is God's will, to remove all images from worship that portray divine. So, and this also helps to teach our children the truth about the statue, teach them the truth about the Creator. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth and all in between, the creator of all systems of knowledge, known and unknown, seen and unseen. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is the seal of the prophets and Allah's messenger. I greet you again with Assalamu alaikum. Message of concern, staff, we have I'm Daiya Hanan Shabazz Akbar, and my husband is Abdullah Akbar of Decatur, Georgia. We are hosts, and we have other hosts, Brother Suja Muhammad and Sister Quran Muhammad out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We also have a host, Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia. And we also have an imam, Imam Ibrahim Abdullah from Atlanta, Georgia, and also the imam of the center, we have Islamic Center in LaGrange, Georgia. So we all greet you. We want to also let you know that if you have any question or any comments, or anything to contribute to our program as we go along, please push 1 on your receiver and you will be brought into the cube to voice your concerns. We want to ask you to keep it respectful. We want to ask you to be polite and considerate and not to interrupt when someone else is talking. We wait until they finish their presentation or question or concern before another will ask their concern and question. If they, you know, want to present something. So we just want to keep it real. We want to respect each other because we love each other as brothers and sisters. And we want for our brothers and sisters that we want for ourselves. Okay. I would like to start off by reading, as I usually do, from Brother Henry's book titled What Every Parent Should Know About the Worship of Human Imagery in Religion and Their Child's Mental Health. What Every Parent Should Know About the Worship of Human Imagery in Religion and Their Child's Mental Health by Henry S. Muhammad. You know, our emphasis and focus is that graven image, which even in the Bible, it says that God is a jealous, our God is a jealous God, you know. So there's none other. There's only one God. And his name is, which has not been translated yet by English, but the Muslims choose to call him Allah. The Muslims choose to call the Creator Allah. A capital A-L-L-A-H. And this is the only God that we know. And this God is the creator of you and me and everything in between. Although he blesses us with a mind to use to create a lot of things, but not an image of God. Who has seen God? You know, in person. You know, I mean, we just don't do that. There's disrespect, there's blasphemy. So we don't do that. We're not trying to control anybody else or tell anybody else how to believe or what to believe in. We're just sharing with you what we have found out for ourselves and what we believe ourselves. Okay? So don't get upset with us to say that we are trying to persuade you or convince you into accepting our beliefs or the thing, accepting things that we believe in, whichever way you want to put it. No, and nothing is compulsory in our religion. Nothing is compulsory in El Islam. You know, so you've been blessed with a mind to use for yourself, and you use it to the best of your ability. But when you want to discuss something with somebody, please make sure that you have read upon it, make sure you have studied it, and get the, you know, the facts and the right information. You know, and some of the questions that you might ask, if we are not able to ask, we'll go to where we know we can be able to find the question. And most of the time we use our holy book, the Holy Quran. That's our everyday guide, the Holy Quran. Okay? We want to quote from Brother Henry's book, and I just gave you the title. Quotes from the Holy Bible, King James Version, as well as quotes from the Holy Quran about that graven image. And I would like to really point out two chapters in the Holy Bible, King James Version. And if you listen to them closely, you will see that they're almost like repeating themselves. But to me, now don't get me wrong, I'm not making mockery. I'm not, you know, saying, oh, they're repeating themselves twice. You know, I'm saying that for you to pay attention to the way they are worded, the words in it. And then you will see that this is serious because it's stating twice in this book and probably other places that you can look to in this Holy Bible, King James Version, and find these same words, just it arranged differently. So the first chapter is Exodus chapter 20, verse 4, and it reads, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. I'll read that again. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. The graven image is what we mentioned, you know, the image that portrays divine. And then the next of the chapters in the Holy Bible, King James Version, please pay attention to the wording. It's Deuteronomy chapter 5, the 8th verse. Deuteronomy chapter 5, 8th verse, and it reads, Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters beneath the earth. One more time, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 8, Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Okay, those are the two chapters with their verses that you can ponder on, look it up in your Bible, and you can read it yourself. And we, Brother Henry, have put different chapters and verses in his book in the back here, speaking on that graven image and why there should be no graven image that portrays divine, which you call God or Jesus, something like that. But Jesus, we know Jesus is not a God. We know, praise be to Allah, we know that Jesus is a prophet, just like the other prophets. Jesus never said he was God. People gave him that position or put him in that position. But he never said, he said that he was sent by God. Or he lets you know that God, which is a higher what should I say? Creator than he. Jesus let you know that he's speaking and he comes by the one that sent him. He never claimed to be God himself. And there's been some misunderstanding, maybe, in the reading that comes from different parts of the Bible. And people just seem to take that. And some study on it, study up on it, and some don't. Those who do study up on it, then they'll find out that Jesus is not saying that he's God. You know, so we can study it for ourselves and look it up or ask questions or anything like that if you feel like it. If we can answer for you right away there, then at that particular time, then we will come back, believe me. We can come back with an answer that we will feel that would make it clearer, your question. You know, that you ask will make the answer clearer to you. Now, we want to go to the Holy Quran, and I'm not going to read a long surah in the Holy Quran or verses. Or surah is the same as chapter in the Bible, okay? And ayat is the same as verses in the Bible. It's just that those words are Arabic, surah, Arabic for chapter, and ayat is Arabic for verses. Okay, I'm going to read from the Holy Quran, surah chapter 4, Anisa, the women. With the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. O mankind, the apostle has come to you in truth from Allah. Believe in him, it is best for you. But if you reject faith, to Allah belong all things in the heavens and on earth. And Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. O people of the book, commit no excesses in your religion, nor say of Allah anything but the truth. Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, was no more than an apostle of Allah, and his word, Christ Jesus in the, excuse me, subhanAllah. Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, was no more than an apostle of Allah and his word, which he bestowed on Mary, and a spirit proceeding from him. So believe in Allah and his apostles. Say not Trinity deceased. It will be better for you, for Allah is one Allah. Glory be to him. For exalted is he above having a son. To him belong all things in the heavens and on earth. And enough is Allah as the disposer of affairs. Christ does not disdain to serve and worship Allah, nor do the angels, those nearest to Allah. Those who disdain his worship and are arrogant, he will gather them all together unto himself to answer. But to those who believe and do deeds of righteousness, he will give their due rewards and more out of his bounty. But those who are disdainful and arrogant, he will punish with a grievous chastisement, nor will they find besides Allah in it to protect or help them. Okay, now I read you this last one, which is very short, and it's Surah or chapter 112, Al-Ikhlas, the purity of worship. Al-Ikhlas meaning the purity of worship. With the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, say he Allah, the one, excuse me, subhanAllah. Say he is Allah, the one and only, Allah the eternal absolute. He begets not, nor is he begotten, and there is none like unto him. And surely Allah speaks the truth. Okay. If there's anyone else, don't forget, that wants to contribute to the conversation with a question, or you want to share some of your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding with us, then push one on your phone receiver, and you will be brought into the queue. And we welcome your questions. We welcome your input, and we welcome your sharing with us what has helped you get through these confrontations, these different calamities that we have existing today, and have really always existed. But we have to have someone who's in charge at all times and who is in control to help us out of these different confrontations and situations. And that is Allah, our God, creator of the heavens and earth and all in between. And also, I want to read this as I go, and I want you to bear this in mind as we go, as we move along, and maybe it can help inspire some of us, you know, it helped to inspire me. I want to thank Sister Zelly for this particular dua. We call it dua, short, you know, it's not a prayer, it's like a dua, you know, like you ask God for something, ask, well, not God, because we don't prefer to call our Creator God, because spelled backwards is dog. And if we write it, we write a capital G with a line in the middle and a D, you know. So this is a short dua and not a prayer. And it reads, O Allah, I cannot manage this life myself without you. Please make of my life what you want it to be, what you prefer it to be. Do not allow me to act on my own. Help me to act only in obedience to you, Allah. We hear and we obey. Forgive us. We are asking your forgiveness. And this is a dua that was recommended by our leader and teacher, Imam W. Dean Muhammad. May Allah be pleased with him. You might hear me read this at the end of our program as well, because it is very good dua to have on your mind. Okay. Let me see. I wanted to mention to you as well, this particular month is the month of Shabbat. And it's a holy month. Well, it is a holy month for us, but not like the... Excuse me for that noise. I was picking up something and knocked over something else. It's the month of Shaban, the month that we recognize before Ramadan, and it states that it helps us prepare for Ramadan. But I also ask myself, how can you prepare for Ramadan? Because you got a whole year from one Ramadan to the next Ramadan. And it would take, you know, most of us just that little time to prepare for the next Ramadan, from one Ramadan to the next Ramadan. So one of the reasons why we say it just seems like it's hard for us to prepare for Ramadan. But Shaban is the month that we do fasting and that we recognize that Ramadan is on its way, and we have to recognize that and acknowledge it and do whatever it is that we can do to try and prepare for it. Now, I would like to just read you a little insert that I have. It reads, Shaban is the eighth month of the Islamic calendar. It is the month of separation, so called because the pagan Arabic, could you turn your phone down a little bit because I hear an echo? Thank you. It is the month of separation, so called because the pagan Arabs used to disperse in search of water. The 15th night of this month is known as the night of records. Okay. And this is the 8th month also of the lunar calendar. 8th month of the lunar calendar. And the number of days is 29 to 30. This is the same as Ramadan. So it depends on actually observations of the moon's crescent, just like Ramadan. Okay, now what does Shaban mean? The definition of Shaban is the 8th month of the Islamic year, a lunar calendar. And Shaban's definition and meaning, well, what is Shaban known for? Okay. Shaban, the 8th month of Islam, Hijra, or lunar calendar, and the month that precedes the holy month of Ramadan, was the most beloved month to Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him. Shaban is significant for many reasons. First, it is the time that Muslims start getting ready for the month of Ramadan. Okay. Now, okay, and what happens on the 15th of Shaban? The 15th night of Shaban is believed to be one of the greatest nights of the year. In fact, it is believed that the after Laylatul Qadr, the blessed night in Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed, the most special night is the 15th of Shaban. A little bit about that. Okay, and which 5 days are forbidden for fasting? I'm going to give you this one first. Okay. Is it good to fast in Shaban? Virtues of fasting in Shaban. Ibn Rajab, said, fasting in Shaban is better than fasting in the sacred months. And the best of voluntary fasts are those that are observed in the month closest to Ramadan, before or after. Now, the Shaban is before. Okay, what should we read on Shaban night? Okay, Muslims should offer the 15th of Shaban namaz before Beitur namaz and after the Isha. Okay, now Isha prayer is the last prayer of the night for Muslims. Okay, now evidently this Shaban namaz is before Beitur namaz and after Isha. So Beitur namaz is on the 15th of Shaban. Okay, and then it's after Isha, and you can recite Surah Ikhlas, what I just recited to you, the last little short surah from out of Brother Henry's book. And Surah Qadr or Surah Takhir with Surah Fatiha. One should perform as many rakats as possible with at least 12 rakats for maximum benefits.
Back door.
Okay. So now, we don't want to go on with this because I have a reading that I would like to read about Shaban, but I don't want to take up too much time with it because I would like for someone else, too, to take a part in what they know about the month of Shaban. Okay, but it is stating here this particular year about Shaban, and it says Shaban month and 2022, significance, virtues, benefits, and fasting. Shaban is the month of repentance, showing gratitude and seeking rewards from Allah. It is the month of preparations and making amends. Okay. This would be important, I think. Shaban, a bridge to Ramadan, Zakat Fund Foundation of America. Okay, Shaban is likely the month in which God commanded the Prophet, on him be peace, and the Muslims to change their Qibla. This is their direction of ritual. Yeah, okay, like they say, we turn to the east to make our salats when we pray. Salat means prayer. It's Arabic for prayer. Like we turn to the east now, before they were turning in a different direction toward the, until the prophet got the revelation to pray in a much, another direction. And he said, it's known, and we've read that he changed right that at that particular time, at that particular moment in time that he was, that he got the revelation to change directions, he changed. So that's the a bridge to Ramadan, Shaban bridge to Ramadan. Okay.
if anyone else at any other time look up anything about Shaban, please let us know. I could let you hear tapes and stuff like that, but instead I feel I would just do the experts, you know, or the inserts, rather, excuse me, the inserts on it, on Shaban, and just a little bit of information right now. But we only have, I think, about 10 days, it's about 10 days before Shaban starts, because Ramadan starts on the 2nd or the 3rd of April. And today is the 22nd. Oh, man. I'm supposed to check something else out. Okay, so that means we have a 9 more, oh my goodness, not 10 days, 9 days before Ramadan, if it's going to start on the 2nd of April. Oh boy. In 8 days, if it's going to start on the 3rd of April, whatever day it starts on, we'll go by what we hear on the announcements when we call our masjid. We find out if Ramadan starts on the 2nd, and by the sighting of the moon, the message will be on the, it's a message on our masjid phone letting us know, yes, the moon was sighted on tonight, so Ramadan, so you fast tomorrow morning, starting tomorrow morning, get up, you eat your suhoor on the 2nd of Ramadan. That's your breakfast, your suhoor, and you start your fast, and you eat this before sun up, before daybreak, and you make your Fajr prayer, and then you start the first day of Ramadan on that day. Okay, and if anybody else has any input, or if I made a mistake, please let me know by pushing 1 on your receiver, and I'll bring you into the cube. Okay. We had a... lot I wanted to read to you here. But I can't. I was really expecting my husband to do this for me tonight, because I was trying to arrange a lot of things and do a lot of things. Oh, and by the way, we can decorate our homes with Islamic decorations and Ramadan decorations. So if you would like to do that, if you have children, you know, Sister Quran from Atlanta Masjid was on 360. Was on 360, and she did announce that. And she went through and showed us, told us about it, talked to us about it. Oh my goodness! Oh. In LA, we're in LA region. I just got a text off of a sister, return to Allah, and I know the sister very well when she first got a doctorate in, she came to Tennessee, she came to Nashville, Tennessee, went to Fisk University, they had an in-service there, so, and she was trying to learn everything she could about Islam, and she did. And then she got married. This has been a long, long time ago. I'll say maybe 20, maybe more years than that. But now she's returned to Allah. Her name was beloved Sister Dr. Deborah Majid. Dr. Deborah Majid, in L.A. or in L.A. Rajun. Surely we are from Allah, and to Allah we shall return. I mean. Our dear sister Deborah, our dear sister Dr. Deborah Magee transitioned from this world in the early morning of Sunday, March 20th, 2022. Very knowledgeable sister in religion. Very knowledgeable. And overall, prayers of peace and comfort for her family, loved ones, colleagues, and community. So, it says, Beloit College's first Muslim professor emerita transforms lives. Mm-hmm. First Muslim professor in the Beloit College. Beloit College. She leaves, Dr. Deborah Magee leaves a legacy in Wisconsin. Okay. So you can read it yourself too. When you get ready, it's in your, it's there, where did this come from here? Notifications on your, yeah, it's got to be in notifications on your cell phones. So I want, I didn't know the sister. She first accepted Al-Islam. Okay. Alhamdulillah. I want to read something, Living History Lessons from Imam W.D. Muhammad. I don't know if I want to go. No, I don't. Because that's right now. Switch off of that because this is kind of really, we know we love our sisters and brothers, and we want to be able to remember their good, you know, the good in them, and not focus on any bad in them. They had a lot of workshops on polygamy and El-Islam and everything. I think she majored in religion. But what I would like to read to you now is out of Brother Henry's book. I want to read some of Brother Henry's book. I'm looking in the Muslim Journal. Muslim Journal is getting so, it's always been interesting to read, but it's really getting interesting because it's a little bit thicker and it's got a lot in there about El-Islam. And if people could just read it, buy it and read it, if you'd like to purchase one, just call us, 404-452-3312 or 404-421-5630. It's my husband. He's the Dawah. They call him Dawah Man. But he propagates the religion. He goes out on Dawah. He just came in, as a matter of fact. He and his another brother that went out on Dawah with him, he just came back in. But he goes on Dawah, what they call him, preaches on the street. He just called him street preacher. So he tells the truth and tells it like it is about the image that has to be removed and about the falsehood being taught to our children, and they're not being taught the truth, that they need to be taught the truth. And this is the day of religion, and it's time for us to tell them the truth, and some of our older people who don't really know the truth about a true way of life, truth about our history and our traditions. I'll say as African-Americans, I put it that way. You know, some may say black, some may say white. I say African-Americans and Caucasians, you know, that's what I say. So anyway, a lot of us don't know the real truth. We still practice paganism, which we must stop. We must stop. Okay, thank you. Thank you for your whole, I mentioned to you, my husband just came in. He was out on dower. So you've been off a dower. Oh, well, he said he's been off a dower. Well, he just came in the house, okay. And I was asking him just close the curtains for me. Instead of being people looking in, it doesn't make me feel too safe. I want to read something to you from our book here, from Brother Henry's book, and maybe it'll start to help me and prick me up a little bit because I was in a good the one that I seem to like to read is about the little girl sitting in the threshold sometime in the doorway of her home, the one with this smiling, beautiful little smile, but at her age, someone probably had talked to her and told her, if she asked, or even if someone else was asking the ones around her about her skin color, and she has to know that her skin color is not a curse. To her, that's what a lot of our, I wasn't taught that when I was younger, praise be to Allah, but I was taught that if you drink coffee, you know, it makes you black, you know, stuff like that, because I used to see my grandmother drink coffee, I wanted coffee too, but that was just a joke there, but this is for real right here. Brother Henry, in his book, he has 126 pages, and he has 26 chapters. So I want to read chapter 12. Your skin color is not a curse. And we have this photo, courtesy library from photo from the Courtesy Library of Congress, which shows this little girl with a beautiful smile, a little dark complexion. Sitting there, as if she knows a picture is going to be took, and she's just smiling. Okay, and it reads, when we read the Holy Quran, we see where God Almighty says he created the human being in the very best form. As we study the nature of human skin, we learn that our Creator designed our skin and still on. I had not turned it off. I hadn't even turned it off. And I heard the door squeak in the back, and I didn't know that you had gone back out. I'm sorry. I'm telling you, when I'm in here by myself, there's just disruptions and little things. I hear everything. Just hear little things, you know. And when your mind is concentrating on something else, and you're in here, and the doors are wide open, and the blinds are not closed, and all that kind of thing, it makes you want to be secure. Makes him want to be secure, but he's here now. He just went out the back door. I'm sorry. I'm going to read this now. I'm going to keep on until somebody else wants to say something. Okay. When we read the Holy Quran, we see where God Almighty says he created the human being in the very best form. As we study the nature of human skin, we learn that our Creator designed our skin and our skin color to function as a protector for us and not as a curse against us. The physical sunlight has within it harmful ultraviolet rays which can burn and destroy healthy skin cells, causing deadly skin cancers to develop. Within the skin of every human being is a substance called melanin. Melanin is responsible for creating the differences in skin color that we see in human beings. Now, the fact of the matter is that there is just as much melanin in people with lighter skin as there is in people with darker skin. It's just that the melanin is more active in the darker skinned person than it is in the lighter skinned person. When harmful ultraviolet rays attack the skin, melanin rises to the surface of the skin and acts as a shield or umbrella, warding off much of the deadly cancer causing ultraviolet rays. So the truth is that the darkness in a dark-skinned person's skin is a wonderful protection designed by God and not a punishing curse from God. So the question becomes, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the lying, sick-minded racist who told you that the darkness of the African-American person's skin is a punishing curse, or are you going to believe God, who created the darkness of the African-American person's skin to act as a blessed protection against the deadly cancer causing ultraviolet rays of the sun? Melanin sounds like a blessing from God to me and not a punishing curse. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. Okay, does anyone have anything to comment on what I just read from Brother Henry's book about your skin color is not a curse? So that's what we have to teach our children, that a skin, that our skin color, a difference in skin color from others, is not a curse, as maybe some of them have been told. Okay. And this book of Brother Henry's is a very good book, and it's very useful. It's very knowledgeable. But if anyone else would like to contribute to that, so do. Please do. Okay. Now, also we want to let you know that pagan concepts are the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. Pagan concepts are the Antichrist. Chapter 5 in Brother Henry's book. Chapter 5, and it's page 27. And it also has a photo courtesy live from the Library of Congress. It has a group of dark-skinned people standing in front of a church, looks like. And it reads, pagan concepts are the Antichrist. What goes in must come out. What goes in must come out. Whatever goes into your body must come out of your body. If you drink water, the water you put in your body will soon come out of your body. If you eat food, the food you put in your body will also soon come out of your body as energy, and then a little later as waste. This is a very simple process that not only works with the physical food and water that you feed your physical body, it also works with the knowledge or information that you feed your mind. If you feed your mind the words of a medicine, those words of medicine will shape and mold your mind into a doctor. The more you feed your mind the words of medicine, the more the thoughts and behavior of a doctor will come out of you. If you feed your mind the words of law, your thoughts and actions will soon become those of a lawyer. If you feed your mind the concepts of math and thoughts and actions that come out of you will be that of a mathematician. What comes out of that comes out of you will be, okay, that of a mathematician. If you feed your mind the words of God's revealed scripture, those truthful words will shape and mold your mind until your way of thinking and behavior become the type of human thinking and behavior that God originally designed for human beings to have. But if you decide to feed your mind the insane concepts of ancient pagan religious societies, Those words will destroy the healthy balance of your mind and regress your thinking down to abnormal beast-like levels. In other words, you will become a helpless slave to your unchecked appetites and fears. So again, I repeat, if unnatural, corrupt, pagan concepts are fed to your mind, inferiority complexes and other very serious mental illnesses will soon dominate your thinking and your behavior. Abnormally, false pagan concepts are the enemy of God's message of truth. And as I have said earlier, the pagan concept that produces the most devastating psychological disease is the thinking of human beings, is the concept that says God became flesh and blood and dwelled on earth as a man. Dwelt on earth as a man. Okay, the most powerful shackles of enslavement are not physical shackles. The most powerful shackles of enslavement are false concepts that can confuse and enslave your thinking for the entirety of your life. The worst type of bondage is psychological bondage, and the worst type of psychological bondage The worst type of bondage is psychological bondage, and the worst type of psychological bondage is to accept false worship into your life as though it was the truth from God. The Holy Quran and the Holy Bible both inform humanity that false pagan worship is the worst form of human slavery. Not one of the prophets of God ever taught pagan concepts or beliefs to their followers. The prophets of God were never guilty of teaching religious lies against God and against humanity. It was the backwards teachings of pagan Rome and pagan Greece who were guilty of teaching their citizens that God, capital G hyphen D, infused himself in a human body and lived on earth as a man. So in review, remember that it is the psychologically harmful pagan concept that is anti or at war with the healthy concepts of truth that God revealed to his prophets. The false concepts of pagan societies are anti or against the teachings of Prophet Abraham. They are anti or against the teachings of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are anti or against the teachings of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. The false concepts of pagan societies are the Antichrist. Okay, you heard it from yourself. You heard it for yourself. Now, that's very good, very good. And I'm glad to know that someone listening and someone has a statement to make. And I will bring them in. And it looks like Sister Quran. Let me get her into the queue here. What is wrong with this? Okay, there it is. As-salamu alaykum, Sister Quran.
As-salamu alaykum. Alhamdulillah.
Alaykum as-salam. Rahmatullah barakatuh. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I just want to speak on something dealing, and it's been on my mind. I had a believer calling me. One of them called me dealing with some real estate, you know, and the mass grid, and they was telling me that, you know, like this is happening, basically all over the United States. This is not, and I was letting them know. I said, well, this is not. You're not the first one. I said, you guys are not the first one that this is happening to. It's dealing with the mass jihad and the game that those immigrant Muslims are playing. It's dealing with it's something dealing with the insurance. And what I told them, I said, when the imam gets sick, or either before he passed. Also, I said, what you need to do is you need to find out what give these people the right to have ownership of the masthead? That's one thing you want to find out. What give them the right to have that ownership? And then before the imam, if nothing happened yet, then that's what you do to block it right there. And then I told them, I said, what you need to do is be prepared to, put security on the masjid. And then if the masjid said that they, see where that they owe money or something, just tell them that you will pay it back and that, and you'll do a fundraising. And I said, you'd be surprised how many Muslims that will give you support, because this is happening not just to one or two masjid. It's happening like they're doing this like all over. But then I told them, because I thought about something else, and I said, also, if there's a signature, if they say that someone signed and they know that they didn't sign, all you have to do is get a forensic file, because I don't care how much they copy it, the forensic file could tell if that's a copy or either that's an original. They could even tell the time of that ink, by that ink and that paper, when it was signed also. They could do that. And so long as you know that that person said that they didn't sign it, then you won the case automatically. And then what you do is you do that forensic file, and you're going to see that it's not that personal signature, because Almighty God have given us something that nobody could ever have, and that's your signature and your finger and your thumbprint and your fingerprint. Those are the things that nobody have. That's, I don't care how much they could copy it, it's still something that you do that they can't do. And that's what Allah gave to you for your signature. So all you have to do is do that. And when you know that that person didn't sign it or you didn't sign it, you won the case. And then what you do is, then after that, you're going to win. And all you have to do is then file a claim against them and have them pay for doing that forensic file. And you can file a claim against them and make them pay for that. I'm telling you. Anytime real estate is done illegal, you have the right to get it back. But you have to find out what gives them that right. And that's where you block it. And if they did something illegal, then automatically just use that forensic file. That's how they get those people. 50 years they'd be in the grave, and then they could tell who really, what they died from and who really did the murder if they find that gun or whatever, or that DNA, alhamdulillah. That is something that I have wanted to share, because I know that about seven of them already know that those brothers are going through with that mass, doing that with the mass did. And how I know about the insurance, because I know a brother that I know, he hangs with them, and he said that is what they do. And then if you find it out, that is what they do. It's something dealing with the insurance. And then they give the imam, I guess he sells out and he give them money, or they give him money or so much money or something like that. But anyway, that's what I want to tell. That's what I want to share with my brothers and sisters. Alhamdulillah. Okay. And then if you know Muslims that did it, then you could share that with them too. Alhamdulillah. Forensic file, that's the key right there. Alhamdulillah.
Okay, Karan. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Okay. We have someone else who has their hand up. Okay, here we go. Oh, that's Brother Amin.
All right. Hey, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, may Allah bless us and keep us on the path. All praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. I heard just a little bit of what Sister Karan was saying, because I had been hearing also about how some of this the matches have been stolen away by immigrants, you know. But you know, it was a guy out here named Ray Reynolds, and he used to help people incorporate and how to get credit and corporate credit and everything. He ended up getting busted himself, Ray Reynolds. But one of the things that he did say when we set up businesses and corporations and stuff, that it's a certain clause that I remember him saying that certain people or a person is a founder. In other words, you know, if you have a nonprofit and you're the founder of this nonprofit, and other people are coming in and they're getting on the board and all that stuff like that, well, by you declaring that you are the founder, it gives you some weight, you know, with a judge if they get, you know, greedy or something, want to take it away from you. But you're the founder, and no matter how they got slick and got on the board and fired this person and fired that person, well, you have some weight. But, you know, I don't know a lot about it. I just used to hear him talk about that, you know, if you're the founder. So if some of these brothers and sisters who run these masjids, you know, they may want to look into that and maybe talk to a lawyer about what's happening in that way, these immigrants, you know, some of the dirty immigrants, dirty ones. You know, can't do that. And then, alhamdulillah, out here in California, Brother Ayman, Ayman was a studious brother, and he had a system where the believers, I guess maybe over the last 2 or 3 years with COVID, where they'd get on the telephone, free conference calls, like the Lifeline, and they'd have Fajr prayer together and Isha prayer. Isha prayer come on here in about 3 hours, about 8:15. And so I've been able to get with them as best I can and pray with them. You know, these are Los Angeles people, you know. You West Coast people, even though, you know, you could call in from wherever it is, but most of the people are just, as they say, Angelinos, you know. So I've been able to talk to them about doing a weekend school. So I'm supposed to meet with the brother Hatim tomorrow, who is a captain sister. It used to be the sister Captain Houday out here. She was sister captain. Her son is kind of like assuming the leadership out here in Los Angeles. His name is Hatim. And, well, him and Ibn and Hatim Jr., kind of like young people, is kind of like assuming the leadership. And I'm happy. I'm as happy as praise to Allah. And, you know, we're talking about it. We're talking about doing some things. So, well, yeah, we're talking about a weekend school, you know, starting a weekend school out here. And we're starting to kind of like, you know, talk about it. So that's, you know, so it's going to be a Sister Claire Muhammad STEM school, but weekend school. And we're going to have good breakfasts and on Saturday and Sunday with grits and eggs and biscuits and and fruit and stuff, and that's going to encourage people to come out. So
right.
Get up in the morning, don't feel like cooking or whatever. Well, they always know that they can come to the masjid and eat, what I mean, on the Saturday school and Sunday school. And also, what we're going to try to do is reach out to a lot of the children who are stuck in these charter schools, these public schools, and you know, middle schools and high schools, and, you know, and these children got to go to school with Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre and drugs and gangs and prostitution and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to try to reach out to them and encourage them and entice them to come to the messages on Saturday. A lot of kids, see, a lot of children. Mm. So that's like a two-pronged thing, the school and reaching out. We're going to find a way to reach out to all these children all over the county and encourage them to come out. You have their mamas and daddies bring them out, or grandma bring them out and everything, you know, on Saturdays and Sundays. And alhamdulillah. So keep us out here in Los Angeles in your prayers and do us seriously. You know, keep us in your prayers. And I wanted to report that to the message to concerned people. Alhamdulillah.
Thanks for sharing that with us, brother. I mean, because that's what El Muminun has here. We have what we call a weekend school, and the children but only come on one day, and that's Sunday, because the teacher that teaches them, Dr. Safia, she's been on the program here at Mesa Concern before, and she teaches in the public schools, but she does teach on Sundays from, like, say, 11 o'clock until 4 o'clock, and they call it the Project Smile. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And they have every one of those letters, you know, they're meaning. But I don't know them right now. I don't know them by heart. Mm-hmm. But that's what we have at El Muminun. And mm-hmm. it does well, does good. They have the children, they're up to the age of, I think, even 13, 14 years old. And then they start on from as long as they can, they're toilet trained.
Mm-hmm.
They can hunt from toilet train to about 13 to 14 years old.
Right.
They
well,
have other,
our target is going to be from 5 years to 18. Even some of them big kids, they could come. We'll have them kind of like isolated or segregated. They, you know, you ain't going to mix the children, little bitty children with big children. Also, too, I just hung up. I hung up from the brother. I called what they call it, Tomorrow's Aeronautical Museum. You know that airport, that program that they have in Compton to teach children how to fly airplanes and all that. Well, I just hung up with the brother who started the group. So one of the another thing that's gonna entice or attract children to come on Saturday and Sunday. See, every other Saturday they have what they call a discovery flight, where children could come. And they'll take them up into airplane. They'll take them up, and they'll go and leave the Compton Airport and go over to Torrance and go out to Hawthorne and over the ocean, and then they turn around. But it's about a half-hour flight. I've taken the flight before myself, and about a half-hour flight, and then they come back. Now, some of those children are going to be so thrilled with flying that they're going to start getting into aviation and all that. So that's what it's for. So on the weekend schools, now this happens every other Saturday. Now, according to Robin, the brother who starts the program, it just happened last Saturday. So the next one is Saturday after next. So we won't start the weekend school until after Ramadan. But, these are our plans, you know. And what we want to do is entice the children that they could come to the masjid. And then on that Saturday, what we do, we caravan to Compton, to the airport, along with their parents. And the children will have opportunity to go up in the plane if they want to. Ain't that nice?
That is very nice.
Allah's blessing.
Yeah, keep them interested. Yeah, keep them interested and excited
y'all
about
really
something.
Y'all must be
really
praying hard. Y'all must be praying hard. It's coming to pass.
We pray hard with you, brother. We pray hard with you. That's good progress.
I want to say alhamdulillah, because one thing I was thinking about, I said that's one of the disadvantage we have as a people, that we don't have no security in the air. And that'll be good, because that means that by the time our children get big, we could be well, you know, equipped and protecting ourselves, you know. Ain't nobody going to be doing no bumming. When they do the first one come in, and we will know we will know how to protect ourselves, and we have that right. You have the right to protect
right.
yourself. And that's what one thing we need to teach our children, too. Self-preservation. Allah gives you that. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. That's right. That's right.
Well, all right, then. Keep on. Keep the good news coming. Let me see. Who else is on here now? And believe me, we will be praying hard. It's like we're praying hard for BUII and this money to get this land and get the stuff and for businesses and all. And, oh, I know this week is going to be a good week for the brothers when they start talking about business, because we just had a very, very good conference this morning. Was it this morning? Yeah, this morning with a brother who's starting a halal business, a grocery store, like a grocery store and everything here in Atlanta, which we don't have. We don't have one of our own, put it that way. The Arabs have, you know, have one, but we don't. But one of our imams, one of our young imams, is going to have this store. And he came on BUII and expressed explained what he was doing. And, oh, wow, it sounds real good. Sounds real good. Good news to the ears. I like good news. That's my baby daughter's name, Bushra. Bushra, good news.
Alhamdulillah. That's great. Mm-hmm.
You know, we can do this. Pray. Wake up in the middle of the night, make Issachar pray for this success. Okay, does anyone else have anything else to say? If anyone else has any other input or want to share with us, or just push one on your receiver and we bring you into the queue. Well, I don't believe in this. They're not wanting to say anything to these brothers or something. Thank you, Brother Ami, for you saying something. I guess they say I haven't said anything in a long time with the on the brother's line, so they're not going to say anything on the sister's line now. No. Okay.
Mm.
Did I hear Brother Imam? I saw Brother Muhammad up here, but he went off. Okay, well, we just have to, what Brother Ami, he was saying something else.
No, ma'am. No, I wasn't.
Okay.
Let me see.
Okay. Well, how's your daughter coming? How's what's her name? Amina. How's she coming with her, not cosmetology, but manicures and beautification experience?
The big thing, one of the big things I think she got going now is her LLC. She calls it A. Muhammad Creations. A. Muhammad.
Okay.
Creation.
Okay.
And so she got a LLC. And, you know, I got a stepdaughter who's an attorney. And, stepdaughter. Golly, I know the baby. She was 18 months old. But anyway, she's 33 now. So, but anyway.
Okay.
They consult with each other. And
good. That's,
you know, and consult, and Amina got a LLC, so she's trying to build up business credit. That's what she wants to do, build her business credit up. And that way she can have a line of credit where if she want to, whatever, buy a building or buy something that she need for the business, she could easily do it, you know. So.
Right.
Shop, young people.
Well, we can do it. Well, we can make it do. Yeah, we'd be making door for her to be successful with that.
Right, I wish you would. Thank you. Yeah,
welcome,
right. We need to pray for each other all the time.
Yes, we do.
I think the Bible says you pray unceasingly, right? I think the Bible says that, right?
It says what now? Pray as what?
Pray that you pray unceasingly, right? I think the Bible says that. In other words, Imam taught us to keep Allah always on our lips. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
Always.
Oh, yes.
You know, because the remembrance of Allah is the greatest power in the universe.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so the more we... Mm-hmm.
And the children even say nowadays, stay prayed up. Even the younger people are saying it now. Okay, just stay prayed up, sister. Just stay prayed. I said, okay, I will. Yeah, these young people, they are some. But you know, it's good to know that they are young and they are out there amongst all that temptation, but they hold on. They hold on to that unchained hand. They do. They hold on. When they're serious, you can tell that. You can tell they do. And even in their everyday actions, I've watched them, even in their everyday actions, when they had the Sister Clara Muhammad's alumni gathering or reunion not too long ago, and they had music, you know, the live band playing and everything, and to see those children dance even. I say, you know, our children are so different. They don't do all that vulgar dancing and all that other old stuff, you know. And they are so conservative. Mm-hmm. So conservative.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good to see. Yeah. Well, the ones that I've seen here that I'm in the community with now, I don't know about the outside, you know, you know what they're doing. They could be... young brother used to say, is you ain't no Muslim. He used to have a son, one of the young brothers that sing down here. He used to be asking them, he's singing the song, is you ain't no Muslim, you know, making that a joke like to them so they can laugh, but think about it. You know, don't be a Muslim in the daytime, in the nighttime you turn into a monster.
I think the original song was way back as Is You Ain't My Baby. You know.
Yeah,
that was,
I remember that song. That's
right. And you said the young people changed it to Is You Ain't a Muslim. That's great.
this young brother. Yeah, this young brother, he's a photographer too, because he took their training out there at the college, and he's go around taking pictures and everything and filming affairs, you know, different affairs that we have in the community and other places too. You know, they hire him to be the photographer. Yeah. Amir is his name. That's his name. Yes, Brother Amir. Little Brother Amir, he's now Guatemala, married from Guatemala. Yeah. And he sings. They're so productive now. And these young brothers and sisters, because their wives are into it too. We Buy Black. Oh, they are very, very active in their line of work that they're doing to promote their business and to get out there and to so people can know who they are, you know. They're good with that. They're coming on up. And being business-minded. I've seen it. But our young brother Imam today and talked on
If I could share this too. If I could share this too with the Quran. As-salamu alaykum. As-salamu alaykum.
Quran.
Yeah,
walaykum
as-salam. Yes, sir.
Yes, I want to share. You know, I sell pictures right now. I'm sitting at the 39th Street Library. I'm at, not library, 39th Street Post Office, 39th Street Crenshaw Post Office. And I was feeling bad for the last few days because I hadn't made a sale, but all of a sudden people was rushing these pictures today, all praise be to Allah. And I was calling around because when you want to make copies of these posters or these prints, you know, you got to call around and get somebody who is what they call a lithographer. You know, the machine is a lithography machine. Sister Karana, I know you know about this. And so I was calling around. I said, well, why have I got to buy a machine? Can I just rent a machine instead of having to call these people and asking them, how much would you charge me to run off so many copies of this poster? And because my pictures are 2 feet by 3 feet, 24 by 36. And so I called a guy yesterday, and he said, well, if you want 10 or so, he charged me something like some ridiculous price for like $18. I said, how the heck can I make money? And he going to reproduce posters for $18 if I buy 100. If I buy, because I gave him a big number because I wanted a little price. And so I said, well, what if I buy 100? And he sent me back something like $15 or something crazy. So I said, why can't I just get me a machine and rent it? You know, because I know these machines is expensive. So I called around and I got with these people called, forgot, Tech something Tech, and worked out a deal where I could rent one. You know, they're going to charge me $2,500 to get the machine. But I could rent a copier that would do 11 by 17. And I know Sister Karan, being a printer, she know what I'm talking about. 11 by 17, I could reproduce pictures. And I asked him, I said, is it going to be really good quality? He said, yeah, it's going to be a business quality. So 11 by 17, see? And then once I could reproduce these pictures, I'm learning about this process where you put this acrylic gel. You may have heard me talk about it. This acrylic gel on these posters, it makes your pictures look like it makes your pictures look like painting, like it's a painting and feel like a painting. Your pictures. It could be just any kind of glossy picture, But once you put that gel on and make it, let it dry, it feels like it was painted, like the picture was painted. And that's what these. See, that's what I've been buying for the last few years from the Koreans. But they up and split. And it didn't say buy a Negro or nothing. So anyway, I was determined to find out how they did it. And Allah blessed me because Allah Muhammad used to guide me. He said, do for self. Do for self. I kept saying that to myself. Do for self. Don't depend
that's
on
right.
them. Because they don't know the type of art that they don't know more than me about my people. I know what my people buy. Our people buy religious art and like church scenes and praying and Bibles. And it's a sister here named Queen Amina. She said, where did Elijah Muhammad at? Where's the MGT? And you know, she puts pressure on me. She says, I want to buy Elijah Muhammad and Sister Clara. You know, she's with the nation. You know, her name is Queen Amina. Out here. And I said, well, I'm really going to hang with this. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. But anyway, long story short, yeah, I could rent this machine. It's going to cost me $700 a month. But I'll be able to produce so
many. You can buy one for that.
No,
what's the name of that machine?
No,
what kind of machine is that?
Huh?
What's the name of the machine that you're talking about?
Okay, Anika. Okay, let me see, because I forgot already. I was so excited about just finding somebody who will. Okay, let me take a look. I'm gonna call back in and give me about 3 minutes. Let me take a look, and I'll get it. I'll call right back in. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay. Alaikum assalam. Wow. See, everybody's buying these machines there because they cost so much. These things, everything is getting to be so expensive until you want do something, they know how to stop you from doing some things that you want to do and fulfilling your dream and being successful. Doing some things you want to do. That's the idea to hold us back from making anything. I got a plant Akbar had gotten from me. You still hear me, Karan?
I hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a plant that Akbar bought for me when we first got married. And this has been about 18 years ago, maybe almost 19. And the plant just grows so good. And I said, I got to get the name of that plant. It's pretty. And it was outside, and it was growing. And the leaves look like a different kind of green. You know, it's like the green that stays green the whole year round, the kind of green. And then when it started getting cold, it started shedding a little bit, so he brought it inside. And it just grew, even inside there in the back room, a little room that's heated a little bit, or not this room temperature, you know, not a lot of heat, and not it's not really cold. And now he has, I don't know if you call it, anyway, he has, what do you call it when you take some parts of a plant out of the pot and replant it? Well, anyway, he has gotten about 4 or 5 plants,
mm-hmm.
and they have grown so nice from that one plant.
Mm. Oh, I know one of them is mine.
But you know what I thought? I said, that looked kind of nice. I said, you know what? I said, you can sell those plants. I told him, you know what? The way you got those potted, he gets the pot, he gets the soil. I mean, he just loves the place. I said, this is not a funeral home. But all these, excuse me, what is going on back there? What's wrong?
But that's good oxygen, though. That's good for oxygen. That's good oxygen and taking in that carbon dioxide.
Daya,
they said there's a saying that you should have at least 15 different plants in your house because that's how much poison you got. You'd be surprised. The wallpaper, the wallpaper, the paint, even some materials, your curtains, some of them, they have a lot of dye and all that stuff throws off of poison. That plant would take it in. That plant would take that poison in and throw off good oxygen. If you have any kind of illness, you should have a lot of plants in your house. But I want my plants.
You got it. It's a lot. When you gonna come and get it?
and I do the same thing too. Cause I got a little plants. I take the baby from them. I take the roots and I plant them like that. I end up got about 50 different. I'm not 50 different plants, but I got about 50 plants. I count them.
Okay, well he does that same thing. Then who's this new? Y'all got a new phone? Y'all have a new phone?
You talking to me?
Yeah, I do have a new phone.
Yeah, I do have another phone. Yeah, my grandson, he bought me another phone for me to use too.
The last four
because,
digits.
You know,
would it be 7880?
No, it's I know the error code is 225.
Okay. No, this is not you. Then I don't know who this is.
Mm-hmm.
478. But they don't have.
When I give you this cane, that's very important. This cane throws off a. It throws off more oxygen. It's the second plant, because I thought it was one of the first one, but it's one of the second plant that gives off so much oxygen and take in carbon dioxide. My neighbors was complaining about it, one time, about the cane. And then she looked up the health benefits.
Hold on a minute.
I said, dang, I hear
Karan, hold on one second.
Okay.
I'm going to get back with you, though. I'm going to get back with you, okay? Okay. Yes. Who's on the line? Area code 478. The last four digits 7880. Speak your name and where you're calling from, please.
Hajalala.
Oh, Lala, you got a different telephone number?
Uh-huh. have two.
Aslam Alaikum. You know, when the ones call and you memorize their numbers, and then when you see them, another different number come up and you don't know who it is, you know, you want to inquire about it because you don't know. But, and you hate people that just be on the line and don't say, not able to say anything, or don't know if they can say something or not. That's why I like to give them a chance in case we don't know what to do and make that announcement. So how you doing, Sister Lala? Sister Quran is on the phone, too.
I'm like the Quran.
Walaikasalam. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. So, your phone is breaking up, that new phone.
Oh. Okay, I'm moved away from that. Am I coming
in? It's still breaking up. It's still. Wow. I hear you when you can come on without it breaking up. Wow. I hear you every two words.
Oh my goodness! Step back a little bit.
Okay, now there it goes. I
okay, is that
now.
Clear?
Yes, that's
is
much
that
clearer
that?
And complete.
Okay,
complete sentence.
Okay.
Yeah, I hear complete sentence without being broken, without it breaking up. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know it's probably
what?
The area.
It's the area, probably. Oh, where you are. Oh, okay. Maybe the area where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you hear me, Sister Lala? Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you also.
Okay, because I just, what it came across my mind, because I just, you know, because sometimes I be forgetting things. I said, when I come down, there are two things I want. I want my plant, and then I'll bring a big gallon. Might buy one of 5 gallons of jugs and get my well water. Those are two things I want. Because I got y'all plants. Every time I look at these plants, I say, well, I got these plants, and they come out they want. And I want, and
well,
I want my
good
water and my plant.
Alhamdulillah. Lala, hold on a minute. This is 8:46. Just hold on. I'm not going to close you out, brother. Amin is back now with the information that he was giving Quran before. Let me let him answer and give him that information. And then he may not have anything else. I'm legging, brother. We're going to let you give us the information you were going to give us.
Wa alaikum assalam. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Assalam alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you can hear me, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Yeah, it's a Konica. Sister Quran, it's a K-O-N-I-C-A. Konica Biz Hub. B-I-Z-H-U-B C-654. That's what it is.
Wait a minute. Say that again, brother. Say that again.
Right. Ask Shuja to text me his email or your email, and I'll just, because the guy from, it's called Super Text. He called Super T-E-C-H.
Is it like a heat press?
Well, it's a copier. It's a copier, but it can handle 11 by 17. It'll go up to about 11 by 17. And I wanted one 24 by 36, but he said, no, this machine won't go 24 by 36. So I said to myself, I said, I can hang right there with 11 by 17 and do a whole lot of damage. You know what I mean? Right there, because I, you know, there's people all over the country got nice art pieces, and I'll get with them and get permission to make copies of their stuff and then put that solution, you know what I mean? And then frame it up for them. Because there's brothers and sisters all over, you know what I mean, who, could paint. But it's called a Konica Biz Hub C654. It includes a toner, it includes service, and networking to your network. I don't even know what that means, network view. But I just
it's
just
not
told
a heat. Quran is not what you're thinking of. It's not a heat press, but we were talking about not that kind. This is this is for wall painting, right? Yeah, that's what he's into. But just get Suja's to maybe send him.
Yeah, he'll give that.
Yeah,
he said he'll send it to him right. He's going to send it to you right now, brother. I mean, because I know that he's pressed to do the same thing, too.
Yeah, you send him the telephone number, whatever. The telephone number, then he can text the information back to Suja on his phone, whatever phone you want to use to, to see him. You get it, right, brother? I mean, you understand what we're saying? You understand what we're saying, right?
Hold up. One
brother,
hold on. Okay. Explain what you're saying.
Brother Suja is gonna text you the telephone number or call you whatever one. Yeah, text you the telephone number so you'll know what to text back to him on what phone. The information that you have that you want them to know about the painting. Yeah, the size and everything.
Right, okay. Well, something I probably could text this. I probably don't need an email. I probably could text because they sent me a picture of it and everything. And they told me my door would have to be 26 inches wide because of, the size of the copier.
Text it in to him. Yeah. So you can get that. And Quran, he wants to know if you know anybody who has who can run it off of or give him some advice on what to do about getting the paintings. That's what he's talking about. He wants to get the paint or the whatever the equipment is.
What I'm gonna tell him that's why we're acting as a heat press, because the main like when you deal with the heat press, you can put
it's not
it
a
on,
heat
you know. I know. What you're saying. Yeah. Because I know he must be talking about the laser copier. That's what he's talking about. The copy. It has to be a laser copy to give him the quality.
Something like that, for wall paintings and things, yeah. Not like heat press to press the anything on T-shirts or nothing like that.
No, but you could press it on paper, too. You could do a heat pressing on paper also. Yeah, paper, leather. All of it, like that. You can do it.
Even on a wall painting?
Yeah, Yeah, you can do that.
You can use a heat press for that?
Yeah, heat press.
Really?
Like a heat press is the only thing, you press it down. You have to press and you lay it on top of that. You lay the, whatever you want on top of there, and then you bring it, and then you press it down. Yeah.
Yeah, but the size he's talking about.
Yes. It's just like an iron. It's just like you do like an iron. Like you take the iron and you press it down like that, like they do in those laundromats. Those people that do that dry cleaning.
Right.
And they press and stuff down. It goes down like that. Something like that, but it goes down, yeah. They call it heat press.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what a heat press is. But I don't think that heat press to take care of no portrait, no real good portrait. You want the portraits to be.
Definitely. It's getting ready to take the place of silk screening. You know how silk screening used to do silk screening. So it's the modern technology of taking the place of silk screening. You don't have to worry about all that.
Alhamdulillah. I'll praise be to Allah. I just, if I do this or if I get this, I cut out the middleman already. I would have to go to them and ask it because I said, well, I want it 24 by 36 because that's how these pictures are. But if I can't get it, I go down to 11 by 17, and I just hang right there and see if I could, you know, make it up, make the sale. Then eventually I could, you know, move up to 24 by 36, you know. But right now I'm satisfied with that. I asked the guy, his name is Chris Cabana, I want them to demonstrate all this before I do the deal, you know.
Right.
And
right.
He said, you know, because he said, like, the quality is good. It's going to be business quality. It's going to be a good quality. I believe him, too, but I'm going to have him show me. And then, all praise be to Allah. All praise be to Allah. So I'll be, inshallah, in time, I'll be shipping them all over, you know. Praise
okay.
be to Allah. I'm there.
Okay. Is Ibn, Brother Ibn still doing his paintings, too?
Yes. I talked to him this morning. He's going to be the treasurer. In other words, as we raise money for the school and stuff, he's going to be the treasurer. And I told him, you be the treasurer. Just let me raise the money. Let me raise it, and you just be the, you keep track of it, and make a report to
okay.
the community. So it's working out. Inshallah, it's working out.
That's good. Alhamdulillah.
Working out.
What'd you say, Karan?
No, I didn't say anything. Alhamdulillah. I didn't say
nothing. Well, all right then.
Okay.
Look like we got about 5 more minutes. That's about it.
Okay. What? Zaire.
I was a stupid night, but yes.
Shuja said, could you tell Hameen to give him his telephone number? I guess he misplaced the number.
Yeah, I give it out right now to anybody.
213-925-8771.
Yeah, you know, if you go to the, you know, if you go to the website, if you go to Sister Claire Mohammed STEM School.com and go all the way down the bottom of the page, you can see in my contact information to let everybody know that, inshallah. And Sister Daya, thank you, and Brother Akbar for always reminding people that the show is brought to you by Sister Claire Mohammed STEM School.com. You know, I appreciate that. You know.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Very much. And let us know when you're doing any fundraisers or anything, or trying to, and we'll see what we can wrap up something, come up with something. You got to send us some information on how you're progressing and what you're doing and what we can contribute to.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Well. Thank you for what you've already done, which is nice. Alhamdulillah, it's nice. So thank you very much. And so, but I keep y'all apprised of what's going on. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yes. Please do that. We keep on making dua. We keep on making dua for all of our success.
Okay.
We all succeed. All
right.
Okay.
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 Assalamu alaikum. I gotta run. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. May Allah bless you.
Alaykum assalam. Rahmatullah barakatuh. Sister Lala.
Yes, ma'am.
Sister Lala. Do you want to say anything to us? Do you want to say anything to us tonight about anything? You want to share with us? Do you remember that sister, the doctor that took religion, Sister Deborah, that returned to Allah?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was on her janaza today.
Oh, they had her janaza today?
Yes. At
on
6
Facebook?
P.m. No, it was on from the Master and YouTube, I think it is. But I went to the Master site.
From Zoom? What, they had a Zoom?
Yes.
A mass, what mass did? In Chicago?
No, it's Master Shahid in Charlotte, North Yes, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay. Okay. Now, where'd you get that information from? I didn't even know she was.
I got it.
Well, anyway, may Allah have mercy on her soul. Forgive her sins, bless and hereafter save her from the torment of the fire. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Yeah, she. I sent you some information, or did you get it?
Did you? Oh, I didn't get. You know, this phone is backed up so much, I can't get anything. My children had to. One of them got in touch with me and said, "What is the matter with your phone? Your phone broke. Phone broke or something. We've been calling you. We've been trying to text you. We just want to know. So if you answer this, then we'll know that you're all right. You know, because the text even meant, got to get another one.
Yeah. I'll make a short quote for you all.
Okay. Go right ahead. Because it's time to close out. Go right ahead. We got a few minutes.
Oh, okay. A wonderful quote. I might not be somebody's first choice, but I am a great choice. I may not be rich and valuable. I don't pretend to be someone else because I am so exceptionally good at being me. I might not be proud of things I've done, but I am very proud of who I am. Amen.
I mean that. That's one you should do like Zelly did with this one right here. And I'm going to say this, and then we're going to, say this, and maybe I'll let one of the brothers close out. Well, all of you, she sent one paper to all of us, right? She sent us this dua, Sister Zelly, most of us. Ola, I cannot manage this life myself without you. Please make of my life where you want it to be, where you prefer it to be. Do not allow me to act on my own. Help me to act only in obedience to you, Allah. We hear and we obey. Forgive us. We are asking your forgiveness. And it's a dua recommended by Imam W.D. Muhammad. It's a good dua, too.
That's my daily dua.
That's my daily dua. Yeah, I'm telling you, daily dua. It's one that you say at night before you go to bed and in the morning when you wake up. And then I tell you, I got to memorize. I got to learn to memorize now. Okay, we're going to go, Akbar. I don't know where he is, but. Akbar? You haven't said anything all night. Akbar! I don't even know where he is around the house now. But anyway.
Well, you better call him and see if
he... No, close out for us, sisters. Close out. Thank you all for keeping us company and having some having to talk to each other. It was a slow night, but it'll be better. It'll be better other nights. Don't forget, Ramadan is on his way. It is the month of Shaban, and we can look it up and be up on it and stay prayed up, because it's just like Ramadan. It's the month before Ramadan, but you do it the same way you do Ramadan. Get us ready, it says, to get us ready. Okay, I love y'all. Y'all stay safe. Thanks for coming in. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Likewise.